to the United States now, where protests have erupted in Texas and in Maine after two men were shot dead by agents from Immigration Customs Enforcement, or ICE, within weeks of each other. Yesterday, the Trump administration ordered ICE to suspend the practice of searching cars for illegal immigrants, only for US President Donald Trump to later write on social media that it should continue. An agent fatally shot a 26-year-old Colombian national near his home in Maine on Monday. He was living in the United States legally, and there are reports agents may have mistaken him for another person. The shootings come after widespread protests earlier this year, following the shootings of US citizens Renee Good and Alex Pretty in January. John Sandweg is the former acting director of ICE. I spoke to him a short time ago. John Sandweg, as we speak right now, are you clear on whether ICE agents should be continuing car checks for illegal immigrants, given the contradictory messages today?
Yeah, I think it's certainly unclear, right? The president's message this morning certainly cast a lot of doubt on whether or not the new DHS directive is going to go into effect. I guess we'll have to see over the remaining time. That said, I think certainly if they were not to put a pause in place on these vehicular checks, I think that'd be a real mistake on the department's part. I thought Secretary Mullen's order made a lot of sense, especially given that, you know, this is just not something traditionally that's been a big part of U.S. immigration enforcement. And the results speak for themselves. We've had at least 17 shootings in just a year and a half involving ICE agents, you know, when they're executing a vehicle stop.
Details are still emerging of the fatal shooting by ICE agents in Maine on Monday. What do we know so far?
You know, there's a lot of confusion out there about this, right? ICE indicated initially that it was a targeted enforcement action, which means they knew exactly who they were going after, but then later revealed that, in fact, this individual was not the target of that. We don't know much about his immigration history. It appears that he had absolutely no criminal history, so it's unclear exactly what the basis of the stop was. And then, of course, we don't know what happened other than he lost his life, right, in the traffic stop itself. But I think really what this highlights to me is, again, as I mentioned a moment ago, historically, just these traffic stops are what state police do, what city police do. They're certainly not what federal immigration agents do. And what concerns me is that we created a situation where we have these officers that are working, doing things that they're not well trained on because it's not a core part of their job. And they're certainly not experienced on. And what's happening as a result of that is you have encounters where, you know, that are very difficult and dangerous, and the officers feel like their lives are threatened, and they're resorting to using lethal force. And unfortunately, we've seen the consequences of that in these 17 cases. And so, you know, regardless of the facts of this particular case, which there should be and there will be an investigation into what exactly happened, I think the larger pattern shows that something needs to be done about this.
The killing in Maine came less than a week after another man was shot and killed by an ICE officer in Houston, Texas. He was a Mexican national who'd been in the US for some time. Again, the Department for Homeland Security said that the man that ICE was looking for was a different man. Do we have a clearer idea about what happened there, if there's some underlying systemic issue here?
Yeah, again, another situation where it appears there was some confusion about who the target was. An initial, you know, as is often the case in these incidents, the initial kind of facts that are delivered out are not accurate, you know, which is a separate issue altogether related to what the department is saying following these shootings. But I do think that, you know, if you look not only at those two cases, and as I mentioned, you step back to the beginning, really, of the Trump administration when they started doing increased use of these vehicle stops, it certainly seems clear to me that a pattern has emerged, and that pattern is unfortunately a tragic one where, you know, officers have felt threatened and resorting to the, you know, using lethal force in order to try to stop people. I think here's the big bottom line for me, though, was kind of drawing back on my experiences at ICE, is that no matter where you stand on these political issues in the United States about whether we should be doing all this robust immigration enforcement or not, the bottom line is a vehicle stop is not necessary. This individual, you could just simply wait till he arrives at his destination and he's no longer behind the wheel of a moving car to take him into custody or to question him or do whatever enforcement you need to do. That's the concerning part here, is that why not pause this when this doesn't mean you can't take action anyway?
What do the figures tell us about whether ICE, under its current arrangements, is effective in carrying out its mission at the moment?
I mean, it all depends on how you define their mission. Certainly from the Trump administration's goal, which is just arrest as many people as possible. The agency numbers are up, right? The number of arrests are up. The number of individuals being removed from the United States certainly are up. I think the question becomes a little more difficult to answer if you say, well, are we trying to do this with a focus on individuals with a criminal history in the United States? And unfortunately, the way immigration enforcement works is it's always faster and easier to apprehend individuals who have no criminal history. Those people generally aren't hiding. Those people are often in the process of trying to apply for some immigration benefit, similar to the gentleman in Houston, for example. And because they're in the process of applying, we have a fixed address on them. We know where they live. And unfortunately, I think that the White House has put pressure on ICE to increase the number of arrests. We have seen an increase in the number of those individuals who don't have any criminal histories, who are often applying for immigration benefits. They're the ones who seem to be the targets of a lot of these arrests. So I guess, you know, it all just depends on your perspective. If you say, how are they doing in terms of ratcheting up the number of arrests? Quite well, the arrests are up. But how are they doing in terms of, you know, promoting public safety in the United States? I think the record is decidedly more mixed.
What does it tell you more broadly about the political priorities in the United States at the moment and some of the community pushback that's been going on? We saw it earlier in Minneapolis towards the way that ICE is carrying out its duties.
I think it's difficult to tell politically where this lands, right? I mean, after Minneapolis, which, you know, obviously had those very, you know, two horrific incidents involving, you know, lethal force where two Americans were killed protesting. You had those violent confrontations. The polls suggested that the president on this issue, on the immigration issue, you know, dropped dramatically. It's hard to say today where it is, right? I think that, you know, I think Americans generally favor immigration enforcement when it is targeted, especially, you know, on criminal populations. But, you know, this country remains divided over these immigration enforcement issues, and it always has been. It's always been a very thorny, difficult political issue in the United States.
John Sandweger, thank you very much for joining me this morning.
My pleasure.